Molly the Marsupial Mouse, Part 3. The Children Do Some Research. It was lunchtime, and twins Mary and Thomas were visiting their school library searching for books on mice that lived in trees. Over the weekend, the twins had discovered a mouse living in the Melaleuca tree in their backyard. It was exciting to watch the little animal, and they wanted to learn more about it. "Imagine if we've discovered a new species," whispered Mary, wide-eyed. "We could call it a tree mouse," grinned Thomas. The twins had started searching a bookshelf with a large letter M on the end. However, the search was not going well. After what felt like ages, but was only 2 minutes, Thomas called quietly to Mary.
"Anything?" he hissed.
"Nothing," whispered Mary.
The section held books by authors like McDibble, McCarthy, and Murphy, but not a single book on mice.
"So strange," said Thomas,
his shoulders slumped a little. The library collection was large, and Thomas was feeling a little overwhelmed.
"Hey, I've got it," he exclaimed, straightening.
"You found something?"
asked Mary. Her button nose wrinkled as she opened a book and disturbed tickly motes of dust that got up her nose.
"Not a book," said Thomas. "An idea. Let's ask Miss Stella, the librarian, if she can help us."
Mary sneezed loudly, and everyone in the library turned to look at her.
"Bless you,"
called someone, and Mary's cheeks turned pink. She quickly replaced the book and grabbed her brother by the arm.
"No time to waste," said Mary,
and Thomas yelped as she hurried him towards the front of the library. The friendly librarian, Mrs. Stella, was usually at the front desk when not taking a class or putting up lovely displays. She glanced up from her computer as two excited faces beamed down at her.
"You two look like you've just discovered everlasting lollipops," said Mrs. Stella with a smile.
The twins grinned and explained how they were looking for information about a type of mouse that lived in trees.
"Hmm,"
Mrs. Stella said as she pushed her gold spectacles up her nose and typed a search query into her computer. Scanning through the titles, Mrs. Stella quickly found a book she thought would help.
"I think perhaps you might be looking for a marsupial mouse," she said.
"A marsupial mouse?" wondered Mary aloud.
Mrs. Stella explained that marsupial mice, known as Antechinus, are a small marsupial native to Australia.
"They look a little bit like a house mouse, but they're part of the Daisyurid family," explained Mrs. Stella.
"Oh," said Thomas, slapping his forehead. "That's why we couldn't find anything under M for a mouse."
The teacher librarian looked quizzical, and then suddenly realized what had happened. Mrs. Stella explained that while the library sorted factual books by topic, the author's last name ordered made-up stories or fiction.
Mary groaned. "So we were searching in the wrong section."
Mrs. Stella smiled.
"It happens to all of us."
She walked the children to the non-fiction section and showed them a book on Australian marsupials. The book was large, heavy, and filled with photographs and illustrations. The twins were delighted. Thanking Mrs. Stella, Mary and Thomas took the book to one of the comfortable library couches and began to pore over the beautiful images. Every page held a new wonder. They had, of course, heard of and seen kangaroos and koala. Kangaroos regularly visited the school oval where they cropped the lush green grass. But the book also held wondrous curiosities they had never seen, like tiny flying possums, rock wallabies, and many more strange and curious creatures. Thomas was turning pages slowly when suddenly Mary let out a little cry. She pointed to a picture of a creature that looked just like Molly.
"That's it!" exclaimed Mary, pointing excitedly.
In the following pages, the children discovered several kinds of Antechinus, including the brown Antechinus, the dusky Antechinus, the yellow-footed Antechinus, and the swamp Antechinus. Mary and Thomas thought the Daisyurid in their backyard looked most like the agile Antechinus. Still, the brown Antechinus and the agile Antechinus were so similar, and now the twins were unsure. They sat studying both images intently, looking for differences.
"What you looking at?"
The twins almost jumped out of their skin in fright. They were so absorbed in their study that they had not noticed Thomas's best friend Eric approaching. Eric gestured at the book.
"Is that a mouse?"
"Shh," said the twins at once. Every eye in the library swiveled to see who was speaking so loudly.
In hushed tones, Mary explained what they had learned about Antechinus.
"They're a Daisyurid, not a mouse,"
They hunt insects and small prey, and sometimes live in trees, said Mary.
But we're not sure which kind of antechinus it is, said Thomas. We're going to borrow this book and compare the pictures in it with the antechinus in our backyard.
Eric's eyes lit up.
Gah, that sounds like fun, he said. Can I come?
Thomas and Mary exchanged a glance. Eric was lovely, but he was rather loud, and the twins were worried he might scare Molly away before they could get a good look.
I could take pictures, said Eric.
Eric loved taking pictures, and his camera took amazing pictures. It had large interchangeable lenses, so he could zoom in a long way. After a quiet discussion, the friends agreed to meet at Thomas and Mary's after school that day at 4 p.m. At exactly 4 p.m., Eric Wang knocked on the front door of the Reed family home. Thomas rushed to answer it and greeted his friend breathlessly.
Quick! Molly's moving about now!
The two friends ran to the back of the house where Mary and Thomas shared a bedroom. Mary gave them a stern look as they entered the room.
Shh, she said. You two make more noise than a herd of elephants.
Eric grinned.
But I am an elephant, he said, waving his arms in front of his nose like an elephant's trunk.
Eric suddenly noticed Mary was not alone and put his arm down quickly. Eric greeted Mary's best friend Shandy Davis haltingly.
Hey, Shandy.
Shandy had a friendly face and very white teeth that flashed when Shandy smiled.
Hey, Eric,
said Shandy with her signature grin. Eric was a little in awe of Shandy because their school principal sometimes called on Shandy to deliver the acknowledgement of country before assemblies and official events, making her well known throughout the school. Even though Eric seemed very outgoing, he was quite shy and could not imagine talking in front of so many people.
I brought my camera, he said awkwardly.
Eric removed a black backpack and opened the main compartment to reveal a lovely-looking digital camera. Eric's father had upgraded to a new one and had given Eric his old one as a 12th birthday present. It was pretty marvellous, and Eric set it up on a tripod with the lens touching the window.
Why do you have to have those legs on it?
Asked Shandy, pointing at the tripod. Eric moved aside to let Shandy take a look through the lens. Although Molly's house was halfway up a tree 20 metres away, the camera showed a close-up view of the entrance to her house in crisp magnification.
Without the tripod, the picture would move around too much, explained Eric. This way, we can keep the lens focused right where we need it.
At that very moment, Molly appeared large in the lens, and Shandy let out a delighted, "Ooh!"
Could I have a look? Said Thomas.
Shandy shuffled aside, and he stared at the small marsupial through the lens, gushing approval.
Oh, yes, this'll be marvellous. Here, Mary, take a look.
Mary also agreed the image would be perfect, and after staring through the lens for what felt like an eternity to Eric, she finally moved aside and let him take charge of his beloved camera again. Eric looked through the viewfinder and poised his finger over the shutter button.
But just as he was about to take a picture, Molly sniffed the air, and in the blink of an eye, she disappeared back into her house.
Oh no, said Shandy, who had very sharp eyesight and realized what happened.
Never mind, said Thomas. It's sure to come back soon.
Eric held his breath and crossed his fingers for luck. The seconds passed like minutes. Minutes passed like hours. Eric's eye was itchy from staring without blinking through the lens, and his shutter finger began to cramp. Eric was just about to give up when the very tip of Molly's pointy little snout appeared in the small entrance to her home and sniffed the air. Molly peeked out the hole, snapped Eric's camera. Molly ventured out onto the trunk and out onto a low branch.
Are you getting some good shots? Asked Tom.
Yes, said Eric, and realized he had been holding his breath. He took in a large gulp of air and clicked the shutter some more.
After taking perhaps 30 images of Molly, doing exactly the same thing, standing on her doorstep looking out into the world, Eric stepped back from the camera and turned on its playback screen. The friends all gathered in close and watched the back of the camera as Eric cycled through the images he had captured. Mary picked up the heavy book of marsupials, and everyone compared the images in the book with the magnified images of Molly that Eric had taken.
Eric, who was normally a bit fidgety and liked to goof around, was as focused as the others. "That one," he said, stabbing a finger down at an image in the book. Shandy moved closer to see a bit better, and they all compared the picture Eric had selected against the images in his camera and the small marsupial mouse now making its way down the tree trunk outside their window. "I think it's that one," said Eric, uncertainty creeping into his voice. "Agreed," said Thomas. Mary looked out the window, and then to the image on the camera, and finally back to the picture in the book. "Yes," she said. "Agreed," said Shandy. "Amazing picture, Eric." Eric beamed from the unexpected praise, and they all looked at the title below the picture in the book. The marsupial mouse was a perfect match for Molly. It was a brown antechinus. The children were very excited, and they all started talking at once. Suddenly, Mary fell silent, a look of horror creeping across her face. "What is it?" asked Shandy. Mary pointed. A striped, orange tabby cat perched on the top of the timber fence next to Molly's tree. As it stared intently at Molly, its tail swished from side to side and it gathered itself to pounce. Everyone jumped in fright. Eric was hitting the window with the flat of his palms and making a terrific racket. In a flash, Molly had disappeared into the safety of her home. The cat jumped in fright, almost turning a complete somersault. When Eric's camera as the cat disappeared off the back fence in a flurry of fur and whiskers. The children exchanged worried glances. "What are we going to do?" asked Thomas. We can't let it eat Molly," said Mary. "Do you know whose cat that was?" said Eric, showing the image of a very startled-looking cat on the back of his camera. Down the hall, where Mrs. Reed was working from home, she heard the children's raised voices and wondered what all the commotion was about. Shandy was fierce as she vowed to wait for the cat to appear again and drench it with the garden hose. "Shandy, I don't think we can go about wetting people's cats with hoses," said Thomas. "But we can't just do nothing," said Shandy. The children fell silent, each lost to their thoughts. "If we knew who owned the cat," suggested Eric, "we could ask them to put a bell on its collar or keep it indoors. Perhaps we can make flyers with the photo you took and put it in letterboxes around the neighborhood," suggested Mary. "That's a great idea," said Thomas. The others nodded in agreement. When Mrs. Reed popped her head into the twins' room a little time later, she was amazed to see the four children had formed something of a production line, with Eric printing off pictures of Molly, Thomas and Shandy writing on the flyers, and Mary drawing a little picture of a shield with the letters P-O-N-A printed boldly across it. "You're all looking very productive," said Mrs. Reed. She looked again at the picture on the poster. "Has one of you lost a pet mouse?" Shandy quickly explained what they were doing, and Mrs. Reed was very impressed. "But what does PONA stand for?" "Protectors of Native Animals," chorused the children, who had all decided on the name when Mary suggested they needed a logo for the flyers to make them look more official. "A club, then?" asked Mrs. Reed, looking puzzled. The children looked at one another. They had not really thought past creating a flyer to protect Molly. But a club? Now there's an idea. Mary was already thinking about how many other native animals might need their help. Shandy wondered if they might be allowed to shoot cats with water pistols, if not garden hoses, and Eric sighed happily at the idea of photographing more native animals with his friends. "Yes," said Thomas, as he looked first to his sister and then his friends, who had all begun to nod. "And as your president," this was met with groans from the others. Thomas continued, "I nominate that we finish up here and have some of Mum's famous tea cake." "Oh, yes, please," said Mary. "I can smell it wafting down the hallway." As the children hurried out to the kitchen, Molly was hungry too and headed out for an afternoon of hunting. She could smell the cat lurking somewhere nearby, but there was nothing she could do about it. Luckily, Pona was already making plans to protect Molly, and so can you. To get involved, ask your parent, carer, or teacher to download the activities for this chapter of Molly the Marsupial Mouse from learnfromplay.au. I'm Paddy McCann, and you have been listening to a Learn From Play original story, Molly,
the marsupial mouse. I mean, Dasyurid. Catch you next time.